We now come to our last presentation. And believe it or not, this is one of the hardest things we have found over the years in building a cross-cultural church, a multi-ethnic church, is the integration of young people in a youth group. Young people are so diverse, they begin to self-select by middle school as to what kind of teenager or person they're going to be. And a lot of times that centers around music, or it'll center around whatever they're focused on, and they kind of cut off others. And so when you add socioeconomic groupings, when you add educational levels, when you add race, all of that in one church, man, whoever that youth person is, pray for them. And so our next presenter is going to help us and solve all of those problems for us. So welcome, Otto Scott. Come on up.
Yeah, you didn't tell me I was going to solve everybody's problems. Maybe you should put that in the description next time. Well, what a cloud of witnesses we have here. Wouldn't you agree? And what a privilege it is to be in God's family. I mean, it's so humbling for me to stand up here, but it's such a gift. It's such a gift and so encouraging to be with you all. I mean, to think of what the truth is, that you all are my brothers and sisters, my mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles, right? How rich is that, right? How rich we are to be in God's family. All right, I'm so nervous. I just keep telling myself, I'm so fit for this. I'm so fit. I feel my need. I'm so fit for this. All right. My name is Otto Scott. My wife and I, my wife Shelley, so I feel sad for you to not be able to meet her, but maybe one day for many of you. We worked with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship full-time for 10 years, and moving out here was a part of that. And now I've been doing this job, Director of Youth Ministry, right here for almost nine years. And I just became the parent of a teenager this last year, so now I'm really qualified. All right, so there's a tension as I come to speak about this, because on the one hand, everything that we've been talking about over the last, how many hours has this been, right, since yesterday morning? It's not complicated. Just go do all that stuff with your teenagers. Right? Right? Because after all, they are people too. So, all right, I'm done. So that's on the one hand, there's that. Yes, and then on the other hand, maybe God has something specific to tell us. All right, so then the question becomes, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say? So let me if you're following along on my notes here, forget about all the subpoints, and you can just, I'll follow those main, kind of those main categories. I'm going to try to blitz through the first two. So we're talking about the integration, right, racial and cultural integration of youth in a cross-cultural church. If your church is cross-cultural, use the vision, the ministries, and the families of your church. Start there. Now, if your church is not committed to these things or modeling these yet, or maybe is young in them, you're definitely going to have there's maybe more work to do for that. But even if that's your situation, start right where you are. Look around, because God is at work, like we've been talking about in all these different areas. God is inviting us to these things, not telling us to go out and start what he hasn't done yet. So look around for where he is. And in that context, take your youth with you to do these acts of justice and mercy. God will show you where that is. You don't have to kind of look for some context to start in. He has you there already. So pray for him to give you wisdom to see that. So that's the first thing. Just use the church where you are and let God lead you in ministering to the youth in that, right where you are. So a few things. I want to mention a few things that I think will be helpful, just that are specific to youth and teenagers. The first thing is just to get to know the generation. We're right now we're kind of on the cusp or in between the millennials and whatever we're going to call this next generation, which are my own children, right? Like, well, who are you? I don't know. But right, there's people, there's a lot of money and time spent analyzing the generations, because there's money to be made. And people write books, and there's lots of helpful information to know. They learn and study about how, you know, some general things about a whole group, and that can be helpful for informing how to serve a particular generation, how they learn, and it can be different, and that's a good thing to know. So study on that. The second thing is that teenagers, many of you know this. I mean, some of you are parents of teenagers multiple times over, so you know this even better than I do. Teenagers are in a particularly acute time of learning and discovering their identity. And I like what Eugene Peterson has said, that teenagers are the gift of God to people in their middle age. And why is that, right? It's tied to this, that they're in where teenagers are. They're kind of in an identity lab. They're working out and trying to discover, they're hopefully learning from the Lord, their identity. And that it's all seated in Christ. And how that's a gift to us is that it reminds us that we are still walking with Jesus. And he probably still has some things to teach us about who we are. And if we start to get complacent in that, or start to feel like we maybe know who we are, the Lord may have some things to speak into that. And teenagers help us with that. They become a blessing. So go with your teenagers back into Jesus' identity lab and learn about yourself alongside of them. And that'll be an encouragement to them. The last thing on this, just some specific things that are helpful to youth. Youth ministry consists mainly of three groups of people, and you can't forget them. I'm tempted to forget, maybe on purpose, any one of them at certain times when I don't like them. The youth, obviously, are a main part of that. They're one group. Second group are your volunteers who work with you, your teams. And the third group are the parents and the guardians, the families of those teenagers. So as I move on here and we talk about some specific things with regard to racial and cultural identity and justice issues, remember that we have to walk with all three of those groups in these things. So if you're trying to work with a teenager and to walk with them in some of these areas, but you don't get to know their parents, and you don't understand sort of where they're coming from, the influence and the gift that their parents are to them in terms of them discovering their identity, then you've lost some peace. And the Lord obviously loves the parents too, and he'll use that teenager in their life as well. And of course, right, we have to pay attention to who our volunteers are. And if we're, and to ask God to bring bring those people that are going to help us to minister cross-culturally. We should be in cross-cultural relationships on our volunteer teams so that then those cross-cultural relationships benefit the students that we're leading, right? Just like we've talked about sharing power, about, right, being cross-cultural ourselves. That's kind of a starting point for leading other people in it. So, and sometimes, right, sometimes that's slow and it takes time to build, but continue to pray for God and to watch him and wait for him to build your volunteer teams into a cross-cultural demonstration for your students. Okay, now I gotta move on here. I'm doing pretty good, though. So now I'm going to move and talk about, I think, some, hopefully, what are helpful, some helpful things about racial and cultural integration with youth. So the first point is, we've talked a lot, and it's been very helpful for me to learn how to see just, it's everywhere in the Word. Race and culture, justice and righteousness issues, it's everywhere. It's all in the Word. It's not just a piece or a part. It's not one lesson. It is at the center of God's heart. And you can learn to see it and see how it's everywhere. In the same way, I want to encourage you, learn to see the teenagers in the Word. And you know what's fascinating about it? All these teenagers, every one of them has issues of race and culture and justice in their lives and in their story, right? You know this. You know this. Joseph, right? Joseph, who starts out with sibling issues. How many of your teenagers have issues with their siblings, right? Well, where does it lead? It leads from sibling issues right into being sold into another culture and country. And all of a sudden, Joseph, a teenager, is having to learn another language, another culture, and deal with the oppression that he has there. Moses. How old do you think Moses was when he started feeling the tension of his cultural and racial identity? Don't you think it's very likely that he was a teenager? Starting to realize that he was adopted, right? And that almost all his peers, when he was a baby, were killed by this culture that he's now being raised. And he starts to feel that, I mean, that deep anger and frustration. This is at the center of Moses' life. And as he's like, who am I? And God, what did you do to me? And adoption is right there as well. And this is no accident for his life. It's part of God's call and God's blessing on him and his blessing to his people later. Right? It's in here. What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah, the teenager who's called, right? I mean, it's not huge, but before you get to chapter 3, he's already teaching it, preaching it, prophesying about God's heart for the poor. And that nations are going to clash, right? He's already aware of these dynamics, and he's teaching and preaching it. He's a teenager. Esther, the teenage queen, right? Young adult queen. Maybe she wasn't a teenager by the time, but she's a young adult. Were not race and culture a major issue for her life and her identity as God teaches her what it means to be a Hebrew woman? That's huge for her. Huge. And at the center of God's discipleship in her life. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Is race and culture a part of their life? Well, of course. I mean, we've already talked about this, right? All these characters have come up already. But do you see it over and over and over and over again? God sees the teenager, and he leads them and walks them in his kingdom, and race and culture, they're always right there. Always right there and a part of their stories and the story that God works in them and the work that he has for them to do. Mary, a teenage mother refugee. Don't forget, she was a refugee. In Egypt, a young mom who doesn't know the language. It's right here. It's in the Word. You don't have to make it up. Right? And won't God lead us not to kids, not just who are in these places, but he will lead us in leading other teenagers to understand how these things are a part of their story too. And God will weave it into their lives. It's already there. All right. So Psalm 127, right? You know how it begins. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Have you ever used that or heard it used as a way of talking about a church or a ministry and not just your nuclear family? Right? I've heard that. I think it makes some sense. I haven't really heard us take the second half of that psalm and talk about what does that mean? What might that mean for our churches or for our ministries, right? Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born to you in your youth. Are the children of the church, the teenagers of the church, are they your arrows? Are they the weapons of the church? Do we think of them like that? I think we should. What does that look like? I think at least it means let's start thinking about our youth. Let's send them. Anoint them. Train them. Send them. Invite them. When you do these things that we've been talking about since yesterday morning, when you do them, invite, send, bring the youth with you. Take the teenagers with you, or take them and go do them. Now, a lot of you guys are already doing this, right? I was talking to Josh yesterday, who works with the Journey and a part of our city here in St. Louis, and he was saying how one of the things he's doing with his youth group is once a month, Andrew has hooked him up with a family from Congo who just moved here recently. And they just go spend time with them. They play with the kids. They do whatever is helpful, what they need. They meet together in a place where they have a place for the kids to play, and they just love on the family. There's your youth group, right? I mean, isn't that great? There's youth, taking your youth and making them into the weapons of God for this righteousness, for this expression of God's kingdom and the heart of God. All right, so just a couple more things here to finish out. One of the things that's nice about youth ministry is that the idea of having new wineskins, right, to replace your traditions. It's a lot easier because most youth ministries have a lot less inertia than a whole church does in terms of your tradition. So just enjoy that freedom. Enjoy that extra freedom. And make sure, right, this is the same for the church as it is for any youth ministry, but make sure that your structures and traditions are serving the vision and not the other way around. And then this one will be my last one. Don't take yourself too seriously. So I think this is that's a hard one for me, but I was with this group of teenage boys. They happen to be fatherless boys. I was just taking them home, and they wanted to go out and get something. So we were at McDonald's, and we were standing around there talking, and they were making fun of what I was wearing, my puffy coat that I had on, because it wasn't that cold. So they were making fun of me, and I said, "What's wrong with my jacket?" And then they just started laughing, like, "He called it a jacket. Can you believe that?" And I said, "Come on, what do you call it then?" And we had this whole thing, right? And I was like, "Man, you guys make me feel like I'm back in middle school. You just make fun of me all the time." Right? I think the Lord laughs at me a lot. But that's a thing that He and I have. I don't know. But if you're going to be in cross-cultural relationships, and this is not just youth either. See, I wrestle with this because I'm trying to figure out what things are specific to youth. But the youth will help you with this because they don't take it too seriously, right? And if you need some help, you can go watch some Key and Peele and just let yourself laugh because they will help you, right? Do some Obama anger translator. All right, so that's where I'll finish, and I'll just end with this. Really, we shouldn't try to make our youth ministries cross-cultural. I mean, this goes back to what was just said, right? God builds His church. He will build His church. You don't have to make a cross-cultural ministry. And, yeah, we should invite the youth and the teenagers into cross-cultural relationships and ministry with us. God has ordained it and is sending us, so let's bring them with us and send them too. Amen.
Thank you so much. I do want to just put a little challenge there for all of you, especially pastors and elders. Would you please begin the development of the next generation of preachers and pastors among your teenagers? Do not wait for them to go to college or, God forbid, to seminary to decide if they have the gifts to serve the Lord. We have to start early with our young people. Get them involved in ministry. Challenge them. Challenge them specifically. Pray. Is God calling you? And you may feel like, I'm not qualified to say that to a young. Why not? Who else is going to do it? Challenge them. Does God want you to do what I'm doing for you? Does God want you to be part of building His kingdom? The answer, of course, is yes. We don't know quite what part that would be, but you need to challenge them to think and pray about that, even vocational ministry as early as their teenage years. Just two things. First, I have Barbara Jones has asked me, if you have another commercial break, please share. And I don't know quite what I'm sharing. It's from MTW. What's it really like to be a missionary? How do I know if God is calling me to missions? What are my next steps? March 24th through 25th at Kirk of the Hills Presbyterian Church. And so I think it's a conference. So it's up here. Now, what we're going to do is have our last table session. And like I said, I want you to pray for each other. What?
We're on behind schedule. We are. And the food is here. Oh. Okay, so we're going to have to make a little schedule adjustment. We're a little behind schedule. Lunch is here. And so we're going to go ahead and... Yes, Tom? What? Come on up front. This is the head of our food ministry, Tom Schumann.
Let's see what time it is. Good morning. It's been long days. Back in the back corner, Bernice, would you have everybody stand up, please? I just wanted to bring the staff. Bernice and her staff prepared all the food for the conference. And while the conference is going on, the school is in session. So we did breakfast, mid-morning snack, lunch, afternoon snack, dinner for that. Thank you. So one thing that needs to be said, just yesterday you may have noticed that some things we ran short on. I would just ask that, just keep in mind there are a lot of people here. Take a reasonable quantity of food. Let's make sure we get everybody through the line. There's lots of food, but we want to make sure everybody enjoys the different parts of the meal. We have pulled pork, barbecued chicken, baked beans, coleslaw. In the back is apple cobbler with ice cream. So